Hey, welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, tomorrow we celebrate Good Friday. Now, tomorrow we'll spend a lot of time with Pastor Chris in studio taking a look at Good Friday and why it is so important and why we celebrate Good Friday. Today, we want to do a recap while we have Pastor Chris in studio just to get an idea of what's been going on the last couple of weeks with pastors, not just Pastor Chris, but pastors all across our nation. How can we best pray for them? What is it they're going through? What are the high points and low points? What are we looking forward to? What concerns them the most? These are things we'll discuss with Pastor Chris today as we have him in studio here on Abounding Grace Radio. So let's catch up with Pastor Chris in studio. Here we go. Well, today, as we find ourselves in studio with Pastor Chris, I wanted, Chris, to get an update from you before we move into just what it is we really want to do here on the program today and tomorrow. And I think it'll be helpful not only for our audience here at Abounding Grace, but even their pastors and how best to pray. If you would, for those who don't know, by the way, Pastor Chris Gordon is also the pastor of the URC Church in Escondido. And so he brings an awful lot to the table when it comes to, you know, ministering and pastoring remotely, as we've seen. So, Chris, if you would, give us an idea of what it's been like the past couple of 3 weeks, the highs and the lows. You've also written a couple of articles about some concerns you have in the way that we're ministering from being sequestered due to this COVID-19 virus. So let's just start right there, if we could.
Sure. No problem, Andy. It's kind of like, you know, when we ask our kids, highlights, lowlights, right?
Right, exactly.
So yeah. We'll do that on Abounding Grace, highlights and lowlights with COVID-19. Yeah, you know, that's a good question. You know, I think everyone right now is getting really tired of this. Mainly because we are creatures that need to have some kind of certainty of future. We have to, you know, we're used to a routine, we're used to a rhythm of life, we're used to our work, and everything has come to a standstill and a shutdown. And that's created a lot of challenges for people to know how to process this and know how to go forward, right? So I think without sort of certainty, when this whole thing is going to end and if and how it's going to end and what it's going to be like after, that's created a lot of anxiety for people. That's created a lot of stress. If any of you are listening and realize, why do I feel so anxious? And you can't figure out why, I've just told you. You know, sometimes you don't even realize how these things affect you. And, you know, when life, we're creatures of habit. We have a routine. We have a work rest pattern that God built into us. And right now, all of that's blurred. So it's causing anxiety. And it's causing a lot of worry, especially if people have their jobs, they're threatened, if they're not able to make ends meet. And then you have a whole host of spiritual issues and sins that people struggle with. So there's just a lot to process through all of this. As a pastor, there are always silver linings, and there are always wonderful things. I read an article the other week that I thought was really spot on, that we have been so used to running our kids around everywhere and micromanaging their lives to the extreme, you know, having them planned. We've got soccer practice, we've got violin practice, we've got piano lessons, we've got concerts, you know, you just keep going here, right? And parents are used to running around kids everywhere for school activities and school, that our kids now actually in the lockdown are more free than ever and are experiencing a lot of stress relief, lo and behold. So there's unique opportunities. We talked about last time on the program that way. In terms of ministry and how we're trying to minister to people, I think one of the things, and we're going through a jet sort of tour here of issues, but one of the things, Andy, that you know, I'm finding is that we're so quick to throw on and make worship as normal online as we can, in light of a situation that's not normal. God didn't design whatever we're facing right now to be normal. This is a suffering. This is an exile. This is a banishment from being able to gather together. The most special, holy, separate activity that we do as the people of God is come together and worship. That's been taken from us. And so there's a lot of confusion right now about how best to minister to people and how to help them through this. And so you know, weeding through all of that and helping people online and you know, going to the social media avenues that we have to help people has been good, but it's also been a challenge. And I think there's some other real challenges in terms of making clear that this is not worship as right. We knew worship when we gathered together. But yeah, I wrote a few pieces on that over the last few weeks. One on, you know, should churches really do what I call ghost town worship? I also wrote another piece on the issue of, will anyone view this shutdown as a warning from God, and how to process God's providence and how we speak of these things and that. But anyways, yeah, it's not an easy time. And I think one of the things that we don't do well as Christians today is lament. In other words, we've been so programmed for the last 20 or 30 years in worship to sing only praise songs and happy songs that when we come to the Psalter and we come to moments like this that are, people are hurting, people are dying, people are confused, people are depressed. You got a whole range of issues here. We don't know how to lament. We don't know how to weep. We don't know how to cry out. We don't know how to humble ourselves. So as I look online, you know, I just saw a guy today saying, hey, everything's great. We're going to have the most fun worship today ever. The weather's good. Everything's fun. And it's like, you're in major denial, my friend. you know, that is not what this is right now. This is not fun. So the church shouldn't say that. It's a time for lament. It's a time for cry. And I think those are concerns that, you know, people need to think through.
Well, you mentioned a couple of articles you've written, by the way, for our audience. They are available on our website, agradio.org. So make sure you take advantage of that, as well as other resources there. But those are two articles that are really poignant and bring out an awful lot to consider and for us to ponder over. You know, I can't help but think, Chris, I've talked to a couple of folks in the last week or two, and it really is, it's one of those underlying issues that kind of just sit there and don't really get addressed until you have to really face it. And what I mean by that is this: these friends I've talked to, they're saying, you know, I find that I really didn't have the deep relationships I thought I had or probably should have had with a lot of folks at church. I'm not missing them like I should. Is that a problem? Is that something that we can address during this downtime? And how would you go about doing that? Is that really an issue?
Well, it should be an issue. Most certainly it should be an issue. We are social creatures. We're creatures that are made to embrace, to love, to care for people who have real bodies, right? We're not just phantom spirits. We are made up of body and soul, but it's not just our spirit existence that we engage. We care for people as God has made them in the image of God, which also includes their bodies. So for somebody to say, I'm not missing at all the gathering with the saints, it's just an indicator that you've never been much involved with the saints. I hate to be so direct about that, but the closer you are with real people, the more you love them, the more you've maintained relationships with them, the more you've been Christ-like to them and served them, the more you realize how painful it is, a separation. You have this in death. So for instance, take Mary and Martha, look in your own life at when you lose somebody close to you. Is that painful for you? Well, it should be, right? Death is a horrible thing. Death is a separation. And when we lose a loved one, that's a pain. You know, I lost my dad 2 years ago. That was a pain I had never felt. And in some sense, you know, to be inactive or away from the body of Christ like this, and to not see the people that I love, I commune with, that I know, that I've learned to serve, that are Christ's people purchased with his blood, that's a painful thing. One of the greatest indicators, you know, of our love for the Lord is a love for his people. And so that's the sort of, you know, challenging answer to that question is that when this is all said and done, I hope it produces in someone who never missed it a desire to say, I need to get back to what is most important in life. And that is the, you know, loving my neighbor, loving the Lord and loving my neighbor. That's the heart of the law, the summary of the law. That's what love is. So in that regard, I think that's one answer to that question. You know, that said, we are, you know, as Americans, very individualistic minded. We're individually minded. That's how we think. We don't think corporately. And so I think it's important, you know, also to realize that the Lord has to help us to appreciate that we are a people together before Him as a community. And that's something that needs to be recovered if somebody's struggling with that. But I don't know, maybe it's just my circle, Sandy. I'm not getting that. I'm getting the opposite, which I'm seeing. I'm actually getting a longing and an aching and a desire from people to go back to what they always loved. And I think that's so healthy. That's exactly what something like Psalm 42 says. My soul, you know, in Psalm 84, my soul longs, just even faints for the courts of the Lord. When do I get to come and appear before God? Psalm 42 describes the same sort of banishment away from the Lord. And they're yearning, they're longing. I think that's really healthy in at times like this. We don't appreciate things as we always should when things are normal. Well, God's given us a very abnormal circumstance right now. There's no doubt this is part of the sufferings of the present age. It is a momentary affliction, using Peter's language. And in that, it should have a healthy craving for what we once enjoyed. So if you're experiencing that, if you're experiencing the isolation, if you're experiencing the loneliness, the depression, those are all things that we can look to the Lord in prayer for help as He gives us strength through it. But there can be a healthy yearning and desire and lament to come back to what the Lord has specially given us. And I think those are healthy moments to develop and nurture and grow in. The Psalms where we see David's greatest growth are not when he's walking out on the roof and looking out at Bathsheba, right? And he's in a time of relaxation. It's not eat, drink, and be merry and relax. The times that he had demonstrated his greatest growth were in the caves in banishment, running from Saul. And this is a moment where we can use to really grow and calling out to the Lord in prayer, trusting Him, and learning to lament, as I said, learning to cry to the Lord, learning to trust Him in all circumstances. That's real. Coming back to my point, it's artificial to put on a false display of piety and smiles and act like nothing's wrong online as everyone's in competition to show who's best in their worship services. That's just phony. We have to be real in the laments and real in the struggles for people.
Yeah, this is not a healthy situation for the church. And to be sure, we do have a priority on relationships that are horizontal, but it should never usurp the vertical relationship. And if you're so depressed because you don't have any horizontal relationships, now's a great time to reflect and seek the Lord to try and restore some of that vertical that should be the main priority above and beyond the horizontal, right?
Well, that's exactly right. It's like a marriage, right? If there's a horizontal problem in marriage, in other words, if my relationship with my spouse, my wife, is bad and we're distancing, you can be absolutely sure the vertical relationship is just as much distancing. In other words, everything's dependent upon us, I mean, upon the Lord and His love for us and us growing in a confidence of the gospel. And as we grow in that, as we commune, as we walk with Christ, as He has loved us and we are growing more in an understanding of that love and communion and fellowship, the horizontal relationships also grow and blossom in the midst of that vertical growth. So absolutely, that's an important point. And just like, you know, I preached from Psalm 42, as a message that went out on the air today. And, you know, Psalm 42, so beautiful because it says, you will command, this is in the midst of his banishment, from the house of the Lord, from worship, from God's people, you will command your loving kindness in the morning and in the evening, a prayer to the God of my life. That's a special covenantal word there. Loving kindness is kesed. You will command your fidelity, your faithfulness, your never-ending promises that never are broken. You will help me and speak that comfort to me in the morning and in the evening, a prayer to the God of my life. So in his banishment, he still gets to enjoy that. Nothing can take that sweet communion from you. And that's a beautiful thing to know right now, that if you feel isolated, if you feel depressed, your God has made a promise in the covenant of grace that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you because of Jesus. That is the sure promise of the covenant of grace.
It really is. Now, as we kind of wrap things up, because I do want to get to what we want to spend the rest of our time today and tomorrow talking about, which I think is vital for all of us. As a pastor, for so many of our listeners, how can we best pray not only for you, but I'm sure in other, you know, we're heard all over the United States, and there are folks who attend a different church than URC Escondido. So how can we pray for you? How can we pray for our own pastors in the midst of all this? What can we pray for? What is the one thing that you desire the most as a minister of the gospel that we would lift you up in prayer for and lift other pastors as well?
Well, that's pretty simple. That through it all, I would continue as a pastor to be strong in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I am waning and if I'm weak, which I often am, but that the Lord would uphold me through all this, for as he upholds me, he upholds his people. In other words, God uses his pastors to minister his word. So the pastor has to be strong and engaged in that word, growing himself in the word, advancing in that word and the gospel, learning more about the marvelous grace of Christ every day of life, and not growing cold in that himself. That has a direct spiritual benefit to the people, doesn't it?
It does.
And of course, you know this, people know this in general, that pastors and those in authority and leaders are the subject of and the greatest focus of the enemy's attack. He wants to take down pastors. If he takes down a pastor, he can take down a church. And we've seen that. So for the Lord's preserving, keeping mercies to the pastor, that pride doesn't set in, because pride always comes before fall, so that the pastor would be upheld in the Lord's tender mercies and would not in any way demonstrate hypocrisy, for that would be a great harm not only to the name of Christ, but a hurt to God's people. And those are all things that we could, you know, uphold our pastors in daily, that they would continue to be diligent and faithful in this. Because, listen, we're no better than anyone else. We're just as weak as everyone else. In fact, we're probably weaker than everyone else. That's why God chose us, by the way. He likes to choose the weakest to show his strength. So you look at your pastors all wrong, to be honest with you. But we're very needy. And that we would continue to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of Christ.
Amen to that. And I would tack on, brother, for those listening, maybe you're a carpenter, maybe you're into construction, maybe you're in the office. What most of our pastors are experiencing from this isolation is, consider taking away half of your tools. Try building a house without a hammer. Try doing your work in the office without your computer. Our pastors are struggling with the rest of us when it comes to being able to put out a message online and doing it in such a way that they don't have the congregation in front of them. Most of them aren't even using the pulpit. It's odd, and it feels off to them. So I would add just that you would continue to lift up not only Pastor Chris, but your pastor as well, wherever you are, that they would be strengthened by the Lord and given the wisdom and the courage to continue on in spite of the limitations that they find themselves in. Now, with that said, we touched on this briefly, Chris, when you made mention of the fact that, you know, if that horizontal relationship is off a bit, you can bet the vertical relationship is off as well. I used to call it a spiritual sorbet. After dealing with issues of the day all week long on radio, Friday would roll around and I would say, you know, let's stop everything and focus in on Christ and cleanse the spiritual palate and refocus on where we're at. So with that, I got to thinking, man, John would be an amazing place to start, especially in light of where you've been, right?
Yeah. So that's right. I think, you know, at times like this, the greatest help to us is to keep our eyes on Christ. You know, you think of Jesus. in the boat. You know, they're the disciples, and there's two boat incidents. I'm thinking of the Gospel of Mark. But, you know, they go out in the middle of the night. It's storming. It's crazy. It's distressing. They think they're going to die, and Jesus is down in the boat sleeping. And instead of coming to Jesus, trusting him as their savior and help, and that Jesus is with them in the boat, realizing the boat can't go down if Christ is with me, right? Instead, they came panicked in great fear. Don't you care that we're perishing? What a statement. Don't you care? And that's, I think, sort of the first response to the Lord in the midst of hardship is the Lord doesn't care about us, or the Lord has abandoned us, or the Lord has no answer for us. And that's the first sort of thing that has to be dispelled. The reality is our eyes are on him, and the proof that he cares for us is that he came to this earth. That in the incarnation, the Son of God assumed for himself, the eternal Son of God, a human nature, to become one of us, to identify with us, to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, to know all of our struggles, our sins, and take them, he who knew no sin, upon his back, carrying our burdens, our loads, our sorrows, all of them without number, on himself to pay for them on the cross and to lead a completely perfect, righteous life so that you would be accepted before the throne of God. Keep your eyes there whenever you have a doubt, because that's the truth of the gospel. That's what's happened. And as we're going to celebrate this week, which I hope will be our next program, as we're going to celebrate on Friday, that is the day that we come to of the crucifixion, where Jesus laid down his life. He became the propitiation. He cried out in agony, isolation. You want to know the ultimate isolation is Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at that moment, suffering in body and in soul, the wrath of God, he was paying and atoning for all the sins of his people. So that when he said it was finished, it was finished. And then he rose triumphant on the third day to say, here's the receipt, my friend. It's done. Believe me. Trust me. And you have secured for you a place because of Jesus. That's where our eyes need to be. Your coronavirus, the stress of a job, that these aren't our biggest concerns. Right now, keep your eyes on the Savior. He's our answer. He's our help. He's our strength. He's our refuge. By his blood is the true cure. They're all looking for a cure for a virus right now. Dear friends, what is the cure for your sin? It's the blood of Jesus. And that has to be our biggest focus and our biggest discussion and our greatest concern. Have I looked to Jesus as a savior from all my sins?
And this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Thank you for spending time with us today. As always, when we spend time in studio, it is our prayer that you walk away from our time together encouraged in your walk and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, Pastor Chris will spend some time with us looking at Good Friday, who hangs on the cross and why that's so important, what takes place on that cross, and again, why is it so important? As we leave you today, we do want to leave you with our contact information if you would like to get a hold of us. The phone number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. You can also catch up with us at our website, agradio.org, which is also a great jumping-off point for our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Again, you'll be able to follow us on those other platforms through agradio.org. You can also catch past programs there at agradio.org, as well as other articles that Pastor Chris has written recently. In fact, we mentioned two of them here earlier on the broadcast. Do you have a question for Pastor Chris that you would like to have him address on the air? We'd love to hear from you. Take out your smartphone, access the Voice Memo app, record your question, who you are, where you're calling from, and then email that audio to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when it broadcasts. Again, that's questions@agradio.org. Well, tomorrow, as mentioned, Pastor Chris and I will spend time together in studio once again talking about Good Friday. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.